Welcome to Within the Realm. I'm your host, Steve Garrett. At Within the Realm, we know that everything is part of a story, or maybe even two or three stories. It's these stories that connect us, even when it seems like quite a stretch. These stories connect and expand our realms. The story today begins a few months ago, when my son and I attended a presentation by a speaker we were excited to hear. This was no motivational talk by an athlete or a businessman or a politician. No, the speaker that night was Henry Rollins. For those of you who might be drawing a blank on that name, Henry Rollins was the vocalist of the West Coast punk band Black Flag back in the 80s. Since the breakup of that band, he's continued in music and branched out into acting and voice acting. From time to time, he's engaged in speaking tours where he's delivered kind of a stand-up punk philosophy. That night, I was surprised to see the age difference between my son and I reflected in the crowd. It spoke to Rollins' 4 decades as a guiding force in this particular scene. Seeing many people my own age at an event I thought would be attended by a much younger crowd made me think about this thing we call punk. Back in the day, I was as punk as a kid from rural Oklahoma could be, which means not all that punk. I signed up for the music and the rebellion, but I found things that spoke to me. These things developed the way that I saw and interacted with the world, and they stuck with me. That night at the Rollins show, I saw that others had had a similar experience. My son Josh sums up nicely how punk speaks to him.
You know, I think one of the things that makes punk different than pop music is that punk culture is beyond the music. It's a lifestyle. It's something that you are. You are punk. So I think it's one of the things with pop music, when you hear a pop song and it plays and you enjoy the melody, enjoy the chorus, and when it's over, you get back to doing whatever you were doing. But with punk music and underground music, you know, you hear the song and when it ends, it's time to get going. You know, I've been inspired to do something. I have this righteous anger to fix injustice. Time to get going. Time to get moving. And I think that's a big difference between the punk view of the world and people that just enjoy pop music.
I've found others in my realm whose outlooks have been informed by the punk ethic, especially the do-it-yourself ethic, or DIY. And I've collected their stories here. First up is a new friend, Lucas, host of the Nowhere Dispatch podcast. I'll let him take it from here.
Hey, this is Lucas from the Nowhere Dispatch podcast. My podcast is all about spooky, creepy, and eerie things from my corner of the world, which happens to be East Texas, and I've been asked to share some thoughts about how the punk rock ethic has really influenced my life and my projects and my style over the years. Now, like a lot of people, I got into punk rock as a teenager, and I thought it was all about the spiked hair and the wearing safety pins in your clothes and ripped jeans and all that stuff. I thought it was all about the fashion. Over the years, I tried to incorporate more of a punk rock style into my musical projects. And when I played in a band in college, you know, I thought, oh, we're going to be really raw and direct to the audience, not using a lot of filters. You know, we'd take acoustic instruments and put the mic right to them instead of filtering it through a bunch of effects and everything. And we thought we were being cool, but really, we were probably just causing a lot of headaches for the sound guys who were miking up our live shows. As time went on, we eventually acquired this all-in-one Boss brand recording unit. And then I took that recording unit and took it into my bedroom and just really messed with it for a long time and figured out that, oh, you can add all these layers and effects to your sound and you can make some really cool, unusual stuff. And I thought, well, maybe it's not all about just being raw and filtered. Maybe it's about how you present the project that you're doing, the music that you're doing in a certain way. You know, eventually after college, I moved back to my hometown and I was still trying to work on music projects and create something really original, and I would take electric keyboards and I would run them through guitar pedals. I'm like, I'm going to make this new original sound. I was listening to a lot of punk bands like the Screamers and the Units, and I'm going to make this new original sound. It's going to be all great. And it really, to be honest, it didn't sound very good, but I was so committed to this idea of doing something really raw and underground that I thought it would be really good, and it turned out not to sound very nice. And then eventually, a few years later, my friends and I were playing Pathfinder, which is a Dungeons & Dragons type of game, and we knew that there were some other podcasts who were playing Dungeons & Dragons and recording it and putting it on the internet. We thought, we'll do that too. So we recorded our game with this cheap little inexpensive drum microphone set up around a table in a kitchen, and it sounded terrible, but we were recording something. We were making something new and original and putting it out there, and we were really psyched about that. It lasted for a while, and then eventually it fell apart because people get busy with jobs and families and all that type of stuff. And I thought, I wanted to continue something. I really enjoyed this, creating something new and raw and original, and I wanted to continue that. So at the time, I had this job that I didn't enjoy very much, so I would come home after a long day on this job I didn't like, and I would crack open a beer and get in front of the microphone and just rant. I would just go on and on and on, talk about this and that and the other thing, and eventually I thought, man, I'd really like to talk about spooky, creepy stories. I've always loved ghost stories and legends and tales and that type of thing. I would start to record that, and I thought, I really like doing this, so maybe I can make a podcast of my own all about spooky, creepy, eerie tales, maybe from right here. And I think that was a turning moment for me when I really went from this sort of pretend idea of punk rock with all the trappings and the fashion and the look and the style, and really got to the core of it, just recording a true, honest story of something that happened right from my life or from the lives of my friends or from an area near me that has a real lasting impact. And I think that was a turning moment for me because I really got into the heart of what punk rock is, which is why I'm recording this. I think that punk rock and the punk rock ethic, it's really about doing things by yourself. There's just nothing more punk rock than seeing something that you like and thinking, you know, I could do that. I could even do that better. Or I could do that in a new and different way. And then taking that thought, because people have those thoughts all the time, but taking that thought and then going in and actually doing it with no budget and no experience, just straight up determination. Of course, I realize there's a lot to be said for researching and preparing before you do something, but you have to have that determination. You know, back in the 1970s, there was all these punk rock bands, the Ramones and the Clash and the Sex Pistols and the Buzzcocks and all these things. They were hearing all this popular music, and they were tired of it. They said, this is old, this is stale, this isn't fun. They're wearing these costumes, and they're getting on stage, you know, they're playing disco music, and we're tired of this. This doesn't speak to us, this doesn't resonate with us. So they thought, well, you know what, we'll just start tearing it down. We'll start ripping up our clothes and putting safety pins through our ears, and we'll go to a pawn shop and buy a cheap guitar and we'll play it super loud and super fast. And a lot of these bands technically weren't very skilled, but they just went for it. And that, I think, as I've learned over the years, it's not about the clothes and the fashion and the spiking up your hair. It's really just finding a project and going for it. Punk isn't a sound or a look, or a style. Punk is about setting a goal for yourself and setting out to do it. Even if it's weird, or if you get criticized or ignored, or if it's outside the mainstream, or different, or strange. It's just absolutely going for it and saying, to hell with the critics, you know? This is what this project, you know, whatever it is, this is what this project looks like to me. Whether it's starting a band, or making your own clothes, or having your own style, or even taking up your own unconventional hobby. It's just about being ruthlessly honest and uncompromising and doing something that brings you and others pure joy. Doing it for the sake of doing it and loving what you're doing. You know, that's pretty punk rock to me. And you don't even need a mohawk or a leather jacket or something to do it. I had a friend when I was in high school, and we talked about starting a punk rock band. And he would say, man, I want to play punk rock, because punk rock is about just being with your friends and having a good time. And I think that's true, but I think it's a little bit more than that. It's about just having a goal and doing it your own way. And to some extent, that's what I've tried to do with this podcast, you know. And I think that's really freeing, because you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. If you want to have heavy metal background music on your podcast, you can have it. If you want to do a podcast about knitting, or you want to do a podcast about raising alpacas or anything, it's a free and open market. And there is nothing more punk rock and original than finding something that truly speaks to your heart and living inside that and just going for it and making it how you want to make it, when you want to make it, and just putting it out there. And you'll get criticized, you'll get laughed at, but part of being punk rock is saying, you know what, you don't have to like it. I like it, and that's good enough for me. And so that's my experience with punk rock and the punk ethic and really trying to be original as much as I can. And be punk rock in your own life. You know, find something, whether it's baking your own bread or putting out a podcast about your favorite kinds of movies, just go for it and embrace that punk rock spirit. And I think it'll make you a lot happier and a lot more fulfilled as a person.
Applying that same kind of DIY thinking to promoting local music brought about a radio show entitled The Scene with Pretty Boy, the past, present, and future of Kansas City's music scene. Pretty Boy, known by his mother as Shane Hatfield, saw an opportunity to feature music from his hometown and give it a wider audience. Community building is often an outgrowth, if not a stated goal, of the punk aesthetic, and Pretty Boy has found his niche. Here are his thoughts on the subject.
When you're talking about punk ethics, the do-it-yourself part of that is a big part of my show. The artists that submit their music, for the most part, they do everything on their own, from the recording to the distribution to, you know, just getting the word out there. It's all on their own. When the music comes to me, it is up to me, all on my own, to program my show with these incredible musicians that are doing all of this on their own, just purely for the love of music. It's often perceived by a lot of people outside of the music circle that every band wants to blow up, make it big. They want to be like, you know, Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, whatever. But that's not always the case. A lot of artists prefer to keep it, you know, on more of a personal, local level. One, it's easier for them to manage around their own personal schedules, and two, because they just have more freedom to do what they want. They don't have a record label or management breathing down their necks, expecting them to produce the next big album. A vast majority of the artists don't have the funds to properly produce, record, and distribute, advertise for their albums. So everything is very, very, very grassroots. Sometimes they do crowdfunding, but generally it's just through word of mouth and just the general love that this community has for local music, just everyone supporting each other. I'll get music that's sent to me that's obviously very, very polished, very well done. And then a lot of the times it's someone recorded it in their bedroom or in their basement or during a jam session in the garage or what have you. The spectrum of the quality of the recordings is huge, but it's never bothered me, you know, either way. There's other shows that will not accept music unless it's of a certain sound quality standard. And that's never bothered me. I like being able to play everyone on my show on an equal playing field. And it's just that mix of different sounds and styles. And that's what I love doing, is being able to provide an outlet for everyone to get their music out there and heard by anyone that wants to listen. I feel very fortunate to be in the spot that I'm in right now. I don't have any formal schooling or training. Everything that I've done since I started doing this show back in May of 2016, I've just kind of learned on my own. I started doing my shows originally in studio, and then in February of 2017, I started doing everything from home. So everything you hear on my show, I produce off my laptop. And it's amazing nowadays how easy it is, not only for me to do my show at home on a computer, but for all musicians. They all have access to at-home recording equipment, at-home recording programs, and it's so much easier nowadays for anyone to make home recordings and then put them out there through sites such as Bandcamp or SoundCloud or even YouTube. The music is just, it's growing and growing, and it's so easy to access. Anybody can pull it up on their phone, or you can pull it up in your car. It's out there, and you just have to be able to seek it out and explore the musical soundscape that's out there. My show, that's what I do, is I gather and I collect music from the Kansas City area, Lawrence, Kansas, St. Joseph, all points in between, and I give it an outlet so that people can hear it and enjoy what I enjoy and what these artists enjoy creating. It's just a good feeling to be able to provide this service. I don't get paid for any of this. It's a community radio station, so I am technically a volunteer. All of this time and effort that I put into my show, it's my own time, my free time, anything that, any costs related to this show, it's on my dime, but I love doing it. I do it every week, and I'll continue to do it as long as the station allows. The show itself is very much DIY, the do-it-yourself ethic, and I just love having that freedom where no one is telling me what to do. That's something that I think everyone loves, is when you have the opportunity to do something completely on your own and you don't have anybody bearing down on you to do something their way, how they want you to do it. You're doing it exactly how you think that it should be done. As far as the punk ethics go, that's just my favorite part, is being able to have 100% control of what you're doing. And it's so rare in the world today that you have 100% control over every aspect. But at least in this show, in my little radio world, I have the final say on what goes on my show, and I just that little bit of power, even though it's just for an hour every week, 1 hour a week, I think it helps retain some of my sanity in a world that isn't always very sane.
Our last viewpoint is from a veteran of the New York punk scene, christened Major Matt Mason USA by the promoter of an open mic night so that he would not be confused with another Matt. This songwriter-performer spent several years in New York's underground music scene. breaking into new musical territories and technologies before returning home to the Midwest. Through the changes in times and geography, he has stayed true to the ethics that have brought him this far.
You've been doing music for a while. What are your punk credentials?
Well, I was really into punk rock when I was younger in high school and stuff, and that was when I was still living here. And so I did play in some kind of more aggressive bands. I don't know if you would say I was in a straight punk rock band, but we were into making kind of abrasive music and noisy music, and it wasn't so much a straightforward kind of punk Ramones or a hardcore thing. We were on the verge of making kind of noise, or maybe even like what people call mathy rock music. But I totally got out of that when I moved to New York, oddly enough. I left the Midwest and then discovered the acoustic guitar, which is kind of a strange mixture. But I ran into, kind of fell in line with a group of people at an open mic there who played this thing they called anti-folk, which was supposedly punk rock mixed with acoustic guitars, which I guess a lot of people would call folk punk or something like that. So that was like a big influence. That was the first time I actually started to write and sing music. And so a lot of people there had a very punk aesthetic. It was very, yeah. I guess the punk ethic that would have stuck with me from that experience had to do with DIY is a very big concept. And it was like, that was a big catchphrase at the time, probably the mid-90s or something. And that had just come out. It was this whole new technology of CDRs and home recording and, or actually cassettes back then even. That was sort of a punk ethic, in my opinion. You just did it on your own. You didn't sit around and wait for some record label to do it for you. And so you could just record in your home and then you'd, yeah. So to me, that's kind of what punk means.
Do you feel like some of that has stuck with you as you move forward?
Yes. Well, I mean, out of necessity, because there's no one knocking my door down to do things for me. I was really lucky. I moved to New York City in 1994, and I actually got a job working in oddly enough, this is not punk rock, in a commercial sound facility. They actually did sound for TV commercials and high budget work with ad agencies and stuff like that. I was started as kind of a runner, and then I got in on the studio level and started being an assistant and started recording stuff and doing engineering. And that was right on the early stages of digital audio. There were still, some houses were still working on tape even, you know, but this whole new thing called Pro Tools was coming out and everybody was criticizing it because it would crash all the time. But then it got a little more stable and I was able to afford to buy one of these like early small systems and have it in my apartment, actually start like recording people and stuff. It was kind of a strange way of getting there, but I would record like whole bands in my apartment in New York City, and it was pretty weird. It was not easy. My neighbors were not happy, but it was like, it was weird. It was like digital recording, which is, I don't know if that's really punk, but it was the easiest way for us to be able to do that. And it was a lot cheaper than trying to do a studio recording.
So what do you think having access to technology like that and bands, what do you think that it meant for you and other musicians that you could have a finished product?
I mean, it was like totally empowering and made you, you know, it was one of those one like less obstacle to things. And we created entire communities around recordings and putting on shows, and then, you know, we'd have a release show. And then, like, I went even further, and this was, like, the early days of PayPal. And this is sort of before the whole Bandcamp and all that. And we even sold it online with a PayPal button. And then that way, we started a mail order where people actually would send us money. And then we would, you know, mail them out stuff. And then we had a couple friends in New York who were able to go to Europe. It was like some people just got really into that. It's kind of like the virtual record store back in the day when people would look for import music and that one row at the record store, you know. But we were like on the internet, and that was new and exciting. And then Facebook came and just killed it all.
Is that something that is like a big part of your life?
So I do think that, that idea about being more open to different models and hopefully for the future for better outlooks on stuff, the environment, people, less, you know, I feel like punk rock, that's kind of the thing. Like when you kind of empower yourself and see the community around it, you're not just focused on money. It's not the focus. And so I really do think that that's my most ultimate healthy byproduct of being into punk rock as a kid.
What do you think makes a punk? What do you think helps someone nourish that critical mind?
I think it's art, you know, the music. I don't know, like you're wanting to be something different. I mean, it's funny, I just listened to this, Spotify just put out this like multi-part thing about The Clash, which is really fascinating, kind of a comprehensive documentary podcast narrated by Chuck D. And it's really good. And it's fascinating to learn about the history of that band, who a lot of people could argue was one of the first ever punk rock bands, and how it's kind of hard. They have a hard time defining what it means or what it is, but I do think ultimately it's making do with what you got and then like making it cool somehow. You know, it's connected. It can be like fashion. It can be, that's what I think why punk rock is so cool, because it's kind of hard to define, but everybody kind of knows what it is when they feel it or see it or something. You know, it's something about that ethic, about something about being more real or being dealing with what you got, which sometimes is like pretty rough, you know, and pretty, you know, your skills might not be at the journey level, but you're just as, you can make things just as relevant. And that's totally exciting and inspiring.
Along with the notion of doing things to please yourself or doing something simply for the sake of the love of doing it, you may have picked up on the words community and inspiring in those stories. Punk, for many of us, was not a phase or a fad, but something that could be carried with us. Punk is about having a clear view of the world and expressing it. As the years have passed, I see punk not as much about rebellion as it is about going against the grain. Whether that is being kind to people who don't look like you, or starting your own business, or expressing yourself in a positive and passionate way. For me, doing this podcast feels very much like the days when I was with the band. No unique hairstyles or safety pins required, but you do need to have a determination to seek to do something new and different. See if you can't find your inner punk. You might be surprised how punk you already are. Before we close, we'll leave you with a sampling of the Good Major's work. This is The World Is Not Against You. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Within the Realm. You can find more info about our guests and their projects at our website at withinpodcast.com. just check our show notes for this episode. You can find the Nowhere Dispatch on all the podcast channels, and you can find The Scene with Pretty Boy at 10 p.m. every Friday night on 102.7 FM in Kansas City, or online at 1027fm.rocks. Keep in touch with us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you like the show, be sure to share us with a friend or two. Help us grow this audience. The transitional music for this episode was provided by Clear Views. The theme music was provided by 556 and a half. And as always, thanks for listening.